as Brother David brings us a message today, I know that he will appreciate your careful attention and an interest in your private prayers, and that you greet him with a smile and the pleasant thoughts that we have toward each other as brethren and sisters, as well as being your servants and your helpers. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. I just about don't have to give you the message anymore because Uncle Johnny just did a real good job of summarizing. We are brothers and sisters, and we care about each other. And my sermon this morning is going to be entitled Reflections. And this is where my thoughts took me over the last few days. When we go through this life, we're tempted, and we have pain, we have weakness, because we're flesh. So we have illness, disease, and things that bring us down. And sometimes those things get so rough that it's hard to get back up. And it's just human nature that it takes us down, because when we don't feel well, and it seems like things could be a whole lot better for us, we like to think of ourselves as strong. Well, I'm as strong as I know how to be. And we have good times. We have happy moments and make the best of what we are given. The weather is not always on our side. The last few days have been nasty. Just nasty. Kicking up our allergies and that wind blowing, and it's just hard to do anything outside at all when you get winds like this. And we're told to endure these things and make the best we can. So Kathy and I spent a lot of time indoors yesterday. We did go to Dylan's football game, and it tried to blow us away out there, but at least the dirt wasn't blowing, because it's all grass. And so we were thankful for that. And we did some shopping and some indoor stuff that kind of took away the sting of the ill weather. It was warm and it was windy. But there are times when we are told to live by faith and to carry that hope with us. And I want to address, how do we do that? How do we carry faith and hope and have a good outlook on life when everything seems so down sometimes? And so Debbie gave us a good example of how we do that. We put our trust somewhere else, because we can't do it ourselves. I'm going to turn over to James and read chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I went to pick Aaron up at work the other day, and I had lunch there. And there was a guy in there, and he saw my prosthetic arm, and his right hand was all in a cast and bandaged up. And he come over to my table, and he said, "You know, whenever I see somebody like you," he said, it reminds me of people that just keep on going, even though they're having a bad time, and they just struggle on." And he says, "I'm 82 years old." And he said, I've worked carpentry all my life." And he said, "I run the skill saw right across my fingers." And he said, "It happened so fast." He said, "Changed my life. Said, now I can't do anything with this hand." He'd just come from the getting stitches removed, but they reattached what they could there, and they're hoping that he can get the use of his hand back and stuff. And he said, it's a pretty good lesson. And I said, "Well, yeah, it happens quick." I said, "Equipment's no respecter of persons. It'll just cut through anything." You know, whether it's wood or whatever it is, it'll just do its job, and it doesn't have any respect for you. And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "I was using a push block and everything." He said, "I don't know what I did wrong." But he said, "Whatever it was, it was quick." And then I was in a different place and met a guy that he was talking to the cashier in front of me. And they got to talking about their health and how things just weren't going right for them. So I piped up and I said, "Well, there's an alternative to not having to suffer anymore." And he says, "Yeah." And he says, "That's true." And he says, "Sometimes I think the alternative is better." And I said, "Well, it gets to that point, doesn't it?" "Yeah, I've been to that point where maybe it would be better just to give up." But that's where these thoughts are going, is we don't give up. We have hope, we have faith, and we do what we can do. And then the rest of it, we have to put in God's hands. He's the only one that can take care of us. And so when we look in that mirror or in that reflection in the water, verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Well, what is the perfect law of liberty? What does that mean? Does that mean that we can be perfect, or that the law is perfect? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians and take a look. And let's go to chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, 2 Corinthians, verses 9 through 18. "For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away with glorious. Much more, that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Have I totally confused you yet? When you think about Christ, and you think about the things that God did with all these great miracles when he was leading Israel out of Egypt, and he had Moses there to guide him, and all those great things he did, it was glorious. But those things are done away. That Mosaic law is done away in Christ. And it gives us today so much more. Verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, and the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the name, the same veil untaken away in reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you think about it, when God, Christ, created us, they said, let us create man in our image. And so we have the image of God in ourselves. And when we look in that mirror or in that reflection, and like it says in verse 18, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. When we look at that image, do we see the glory of the Lord in that image that is looking back at us when we look in a mirror? Hopefully we do. And hopefully we don't just look at it and say, oh, my hair's okay, and walk away and forget what manner of person we're supposed to be. When we look at ourselves, are we looking for things that are vain and worthless, or are we looking for that which is good? And so we have to kind of do a check and balance of ourselves every once in a while. And remember to look at ourselves instead of finding only trouble and only things that are bringing us down. And when we do that, it gives us hope. And like I said, we have so much more than those that lived under the Mosaic law. They were so hard-hearted and stiff-necked that they just offended the Lord and everything he told them, because they couldn't stick with it. They weren't looking in the mirror and evaluating themselves. Today, with the records that we have and with Christ making the atonement and taking away the sting of the grave, then we have that hope. We have those things that are perfect in the law. That perfect law of liberty. That we're free to choose just exactly what we want to follow after. And the Lord has given us those things that we might follow after him, and then he'd be with us. I want to go to the fourth chapter here, the next chapter, 2 Corinthians, and read verses 8 through 18. And this is Paul. You know, we think of Paul, he was converted, and man, he was just so good at everything he did. But Paul had a lot of trouble. Paul got put in prison. Everything that he tried to do, it seemed like Satan was there to bar his way. And he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That's where that hope comes from, because we can see the things that are eternal, as long as we are keeping the commandments that were given to us, as long as we follow after Christ, as long as we're living in His grace and turn not away. If we are not with God, then we are against Him. Scripture tells us that. How do we defile ourselves? How do we do that? God doesn't defile us. It's up to us. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 20 through 23, Mark chapter 7. These are the words of Christ. And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulterous, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." In other words, that's a choice. If you start taking part in one of these things, then that's a choice you made, and you defiled yourself. You denied the commandments of God. There's many ways that we can do that. You know, when you think about your afflictions being temporary, sometimes it doesn't seem like it, because it becomes a very long day when you're suffering a lot. But when it's over, you say, well, that was bad, but I came through it okay. I feel stronger. As long as we're faithful, He'll do that for us. But there's a problem, because if we're not following all of these commandments that God gave us and those things which we are to stay away from, it's real easy to fall into the flaxen cords that Satan leads for us. I'm going to go back to James chapter 2 and read 8 through 10. James chapter 2, 8 through 10. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Well, that sounds pretty devastating. Say, well, I know I sinned, so I'm guilty of everything. Well, really, the only thing you're guilty of is when you go and you look at that reflection, you're not seeing that Spirit of God as strong as it should be. That's what you're guilty of. We've kind of lost that hope that we had. But in repentance, we are given hope. Christ died for us that we could be given an avenue of grace. That's what this life is all about. It's an avenue of grace. And we have that avenue offered to us through Christ. And so we need to take advantage of that. I'm going to go back to Hebrews. In chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 6 through 8, through part of 8, third chapter of Hebrews, verse 6. But Christ, as the Son over His own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You know, when I think about should I do this or should I not do this, I try to imagine God or Christ standing there beside me. Would I do it if He was standing there? Or would I be ashamed of myself? Well, if I'm ashamed of myself, then I just got my answer. I shouldn't do it. But if Christ is there with us, then we make the right decision. The best one we can come to, anyway. One thing we shouldn't forget is why are we given the gift of life? Why did He give us that? You know, we shouldn't cheat the image that's in the mirror. God gave us life so that we could follow after Christ. Because He knew that He was going to give His one and only begotten Son for our sakes. And he's not going to give up easy. He's not going to allow us to make the wrong choices forever if we put our belief in him. So even if we have committed a sin, then he gives us that avenue of grace to take, to follow him right out of that darkness and into the light and head for that eternal life in his kingdom. He's not going to condemn us if we repent and change our ways. That's why he came down here and gave his life, just so that we would have that. And we would also have that reflection, that we can look at ourselves and if we're doing everything that we know how to do right, and we put the rest in God's hands, then when you look at that reflection, you're going to see a smile. And you say, yeah, I can face this day. I don't care how windy it gets. I don't care how bad I feel. God is the one in charge. And he's given his son for my sake. So that even if I do slip and fall a little bit, I can repent. I can find my way back into God's grace. Thank you.